We enjoyed Gary's message last week. Amen. Thank you, Gary. Always good. Going to hear more of him days to come. That's good. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. I preach on this a number of times, but we are going to talk about tonight getting prepared. Getting prepared. And like in the days of Noah, we're going to talk a little, Jesus is going to talk about, I'm not going to, but Jesus is going to talk about, in the days of Noah, they weren't prepared. And the Lord talks about in the end times, it's going to be like the days of Noah. And we're going to look at some of those things tonight. Matthew chapter 24, verse 1. Again, we talked about this numerous times, but the disciples are sitting around and Jesus is talking here. It says, Jesus went out, leaving the temple grounds, and his disciples pointed out to him various temple buildings, but he responded, and he said, do you see all these buildings? I tell you the truth, they will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Later, in verse 3, Jesus sat at the Mount of Olives. His disciples came to him privately and said, tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will signal your return? And where we go, the end of the world. Now, I want to stop here for a moment because those of you who may, I don't know, you know, I know a lot of people grew up in different backgrounds, but when I grew up as a kid, I was old school Pentecostal. And growing up, it was either the raptures happen tomorrow and you just got to get, everybody got saved, you know? It was kind of this whole thing where, you know, and you know, all the time everybody's getting get saved again, you know, some denominational churches and that's, you know, good, you know, people get saved, we definitely want that, but it's kind of like, do you need to get saved every Sunday, right? And you know, it's just kind of like, well, in case something happens, I better get saved again, right? First time, the first, you know, 300 times didn't work, I better do it one more time, you know, you just never know. And it was almost kind of like a paranoia, and I just remember as a kid, sometimes you're sitting there, and you'd like, come in outside, like summertime, and you'd be playing or something or whatever, and you come in and go, hey, Mom, Dad, maybe they're outside doing stuff. And you're like, did the rapture happen? You know, everybody's apparently back then in the late 70s and early 80s, and I think a lot of people were. But we don't talk about it as much anymore, you know? We watch TV, and everybody's talking about feel-good things, and, you know, the preaching is kind of soft, and I think we need to get back to Jesus could come back any minute and create an urgency. Because in the way the world's sitting right now, I mean, you know, things could happen. All these people, well, you know, Jesus is going to come back this time. And I was heard somebody talking about the other day, the girls were talking about a teacher. They heard talking about the rapture is going to happen in 2035. Well, I'm going to tell you something here in a few scriptures we're going to see. The only person that knows that is the Father, right? So if you know, if you've got insight on when the rapture is going to happen, you know more than Jesus, because we're going to see scriptures here in a moment that now it could be tomorrow. I mean, I just pray to God it's going to happen tonight, right? I mean, that would be great. No more bills. You know, that would be great, wouldn't it? Hallelujah, right? You don't have to go to work Monday morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to see some people dancing, shouting on that, won't we? Retired folks are like, don't marry me, right? but I think it's some things we need to really consider and really think about these words Jesus talks about. And he goes on and he says here in verse 3, verse 4, and Jesus told them, do not let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many, and you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but do not panic. Yes, these things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all of this is only the first part of the birth pains, with more to come. And I'll just stop there for a moment. Interesting, he was talking about the very first word Jesus talks about is do not be deceived. What happened in the Garden of Eden, the thing that got us all off track was what? Deception. And what? Distraction. Because really what happened with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they got distracted from the purpose. What was their purpose? You got a job, do the job, right? Take care of the garden. Don't touch this tree. But the distraction and focus was off of what we needed to do, what they needed to be focused on, and it was on the thing we don't need to be focused on, right? We got people in the church body that are arguing about this and that, and you know, people are like, well, I don't believe in first tribulation. I believe in second tribulation. I believe in pre-trib. And it's like, we're going to go when we go. I mean, it's just like, it doesn't matter how much you argue and how much energy you put on it. They're just things that are out of our hands, right? Yeah. I mean, the sun's going to come up tomorrow and it's going to set. It's set. It's going to set tonight and it's going to rise in the morning, right? You and I have nothing to do with it. So I'm not going to waste a lot of energy arguing about things like that. But what we do need to focus on is not being deceived. What is deceived? Yeah. It just means there's a truth that is distorted. Mm-hmm. Or it is we're focused on the wrong thing, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, TV, the TV and the news is a lot like that, right? I feel like we should just get sock puppets from now on TV. You know, okay, everybody, here's a distraction this week. Here's a distraction this week, right? Here's the lies and junk this week, right? At least I'd probably pay attention a little bit better if they had like some Sesame Street sock puppets or something up there. You know, like, oh, that's cool. You know, that's interesting. But Jesus goes on and he says, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. Okay, well, this doesn't quite line up with the name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, prosperity. We're all comfy, right? I just want to say something. Much of Jesus' teaching is not about comfort. And there's some things in life, if you want to age faster, then run to comfort. Because you will age faster if you run to comfort. Yeah, it's interesting here because a lot of things in the Bible and talk about, you know, Jesus talking about fasting and doing other things like this. Really, if you read the Levitical law and you read things in the Bible, God's whole thing is to get us to last longer. It's helped to preserve us. Too much of the church, we want to run to comfort, right? We want to, everything's comfort, right? We run to comfort, not always good. He goes on and he says, and you will be hated all over the world because you are my followers. Now, this does not surprise me. I know people don't like, there's just some people that, you know, I mean, they don't like what we preach. They don't like what we stand for. You know, we're just, if you're Christians, your label is ignorant. You know, you're uneducated, and that's ridiculous. You know, it's all deception. It's all try to get, you know, the whole it's all about stealing narratives, mm-hmm. Right? You were, years ago, Christianity was just, it was the norm. It was the understanding. You know, it was simple. Now it's, well, you're uneducated, and you're ignorant if you believe in God, and you're not into science. And it's like, well, science changes every day. I mean, tomorrow they'll tell you water's bad for you. Right, yeah. And then they'll tell you that you know you need to do these things. You need now. I'm not deceived, right? I don't have to be deceived. Yeah. And deception is basically taking things. All the devil does, he takes truths and he twists them so that everything is wrong. Takes God's word and he just twists things, right? He takes religion and instead of God being, you know, Jesus said in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come that you may have life and have more abundantly. Religion wants to take it around and go, you know what? God's trying to teach you a lesson here. That's why you're going through the sickness and disease, is because God's trying to teach you something. Now that's called an abusive parent. And you're just basically character assassinating God just to fill in because you haven't received healing, so you're trying to make an excuse and blame God. I love all these things these people say all the time, you know? Well, you know, this happened, this person in my family, this happened, or this happened, or this happened, and God's just teaching me something. No. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. He's still on the deception thing, isn't he? Yeah. Sin will be rampant everywhere. And here we go. The love of many will grow cold. You know, the lack of love and sin are always hand in hand. Always hand in hand. Because sin is selfishness, and sin says, I'm going to satisfy myself at your expense. That's all sin is. The devil, his whole deception is, my lust and everything is, I'm just going to breed, I'm going to, my, you know, his sinful nature, he's going to expose that on the world. And of course he did that when Adam and Eve fell. But move on here, finish this part here. But the one who endures until the end, here we go. The one who endures until the end, and the good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear. Here we go. Then the end will come. What is a prerequisite for the end to come is to preach the gospel to all the world. Yes. I mean, think about it now. We've got the internet, right? We've got all of these things that are so many people have access to. I remember being in Africa, and I was kind of shocked because back at that time we had 3G. I'm going into the bush, right? I mean, we're talking about villages, you know. They just got half of the village had electricity. The other half didn't. So you're literally walking down a street. You know, I feel like I'm Clint Eastwood. I'm walking down this like little rickety road here, and I got, you know, these little buildings on the side, like I'm in Central Western. And this side has got electricity, and this one doesn't. So I'm in Africa, and they have 4G, and we only had 3G. And they just got like electricity on this half of the road 6 months earlier. And I'm like, whoa. Well, that tells you something, that technology is going faster. So what you're seeing is this quantum leap between, okay, we just got this, and we've just done this quantum leap from 1, 2, and 3G, and then just bam, we're into 4G. Yeah. And that tells me, it's like, you know what? There's some tools here that these people could hear the gospel. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And in the bush, I mean, we're have to go all the way back there. We're teaching people in the bush that they don't have the means to go to the United States and go to Bible college, or even in Nairobi, there's some Bible colleges, or Malindi and all these other towns in Kenya. So we're getting the word out. When I was there, you know, I'd flip on TV and there'd be like Joyce Myers in the morning. You know, I'm in Nairobi and I'm like, hey, there's Joyce Myers. You know, and then there'd be like T.D. Jakes or it was like Joel Osteen. You know, these people. The word is getting out, right? So again, Jesus talks about, he says, the word is going to be preached and then the end will come. Well, I've got all figured out. I've got these charts and all these maps and everything else and blah, 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 blah. Phooey. The gospel's got to be preached. Because why? Because God is slow to anger, rich in mercy. He's trying to give us plenty of time to reach people so that people can come to him. Skip down to verse 36. We're going to get into the days of Noah, but it's good to prepare for these things, right? So we shouldn't be shocked when people don't like us. Yeah. They don't, you know. There's just some people that, there's people around us, they think we're going to hell because we speak in tongues. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know. Might want to blow the dust off your Bible once in a while and pick up the book of Acts and read through that, and also read the book of John and the book of Luke. With the Luke as a precursor to Acts, it'll tell you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to come. John chapter 14 and John chapter 16. Also the end of Luke. Luke wrote, obviously, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Everything just dovetails together, right? And what did he tell the disciples? Stay in Jerusalem. After that, you receive power on high. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus commanded us to do. Right? And then it's also, too, you know, let's look at Matthew. We're going to take a little detour here. We're going to Cadillac around here. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. These are for all the religious people out there that can't read. We're going to help you tonight. I'm going to read it for you. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, verse 18 through 20. And this is the Great Commission. We're going to read it in two places, all right? Because in the Gospels, you can see it in multiple books, right? The same thing. Writers have a little different interpretation of it, but they write the same thing. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, and Jesus came and spoke unto them and said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and teach all nations. Okay, most people can believe in that. Woo-hoo! Yeah, well, teach, yeah, we're all going to send people out. Baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Yay. Okay. Teach them to observe all things. Like that all? Okay. I'm not a really good linguist, but I'm pretty sure all means all in every language, right? Remember that commercial little kid? Probably you don't. A lot of you don't know. A-L-L, right? A little kid that had the laundry detergent or something. Teaching them, verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you, even in the world. So remember, Jesus said everything, right? All. All the commandments, we're going to do that. Mark chapter 16, we're going to go there. And I don't even have time tonight. We're not going to go through all of these things, but I'm just saying Mark chapter 16. Now let's get, buckle up, buckaroo. Here we go. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And it says, and Jesus again, in command, or the, given this commission here, this is Mark, and it says, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, that's the same thing we just read, right? And believe, and he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Okay, great. Oh, we're all believing on that. But he that believes not shall be damned. Okay, woo! All right, we're on the same page here. All right, we're all feeling real good now, aren't we? Okay, King Jesus, woo! Yeah, we're all on the same page. This all sounds great. Okay, let's keep going. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Whoa. I'm pumping the brakes here, right? They shall speak with new tongues. Whoa. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Whoa! They shall lay hands on the sick. Whoa! And they shall recover. Whoa! Here's the problem with a lot of these religious folks. Number one, if we accept tongues, and we have to accept healing, right?
Yes.
And if we do that, then that means that we have to cast out devils too. See, what happens is this is a slippery slope. You can't just pick and choose what you want out of the Bible. We just read there in the end of Matthew, Jesus says, every commandment I told you, you need to do it.
Yeah.
And we're going to read it again in Matthew here in just a moment. But the problem is, a lot of these religious folks, they don't want to accept tongues, and they don't want to expect the move of the Spirit, because if they accept one, scripturally, they have to accept everything. So they run from it, because if I have lay hands on the sick, then I'm also obligated to cast out demons. Then I'm also obligated to speak in tongues. Because if they dare step on or believe in one of these things, then they're a hypocrite because they're not doing any of them. Right? So we're just going to stay in our comfort zone, and we're just going to believe those things. We're going to be baptized, we're going to be saved, and then we're going to, and that's it in verse 16, and we don't go any farther. Oh, you don't like that, huh? Okay. You love it? I do too. Because it's Jesus.
Amen.
Matthew chapter, we're going to go back in verse 36 here. Verse 24, 36. This is liberating tonight. I'm telling you what, when you get a revelation of you know what, God, he gave us the whole package, and it's kind of weird, you know, like you know, we just saw over at the birthday party, tonight, you know, there's some things, you get a box and there's all these parts and there's toys, like at Christmas time, you know, and I've had it before, you open it up and all of a sudden there's missing parts. Well, it doesn't work. See, it's like, you can't do Christianity and just pick and choose what you want, right? I like this, I don't like this, I don't like this, I don't like this. This makes me uncomfortable, right? My preacher preaches against this. Well, I'm sorry, but King Jesus kind of overrides all of us,
yeah.
Right? I'm not into creating a new religion tonight, all right? I'm kind of interested in just sticking with Jesus, and, you know, I kind of want to make things up because, well, these people are comfortable, and these people give, and I don't want to upset these people and everything else too, and then you're a hireling, right? And then what happens is when a better church comes open, then you kind of take that job because, again, it's better pay, so you're not really a preacher, you're just a hireling, right? Because now we're just worried about what people think, and we don't want to upset these people because of this and that and everything else too. Jesus warns about hirelings. Verse 36, however, no one knows the day or the hour when these things will happen. Not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself, only the Father knows. So the clowns out there stating that they know when the rapture is going to happen, my ears just close at that point, and I just cringe on the inside, right? It just, I get real cringy. It's like, ooh, no. We don't know, but guess what? Our job is to be prepared. It's all, well, we're going to be prepared. That's it. We got to just live righteous with him. Yes. Here we go, verse 37. I want to get to you tonight. We may not get through all those. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered into his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is why, that is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Now, Jesus could come back in our lifetime. And there's a good chance that could happen, right? I know we've been saying this forever, forever, and ever, and ever. But he's long in mercy and slow in anger, right? Because he's trying to prolong things to be able to give people plenty of time to repent, to come to him, to be born again and to be delivered, to be saved. But here we go. Back then, let's take just a moment here real quick. Let's talk a little bit about the people in the days of Noah. First of all, they had no idea what was coming. Who knew? The righteous. The righteous knew. Noah and his family knew what was going on. Guess what happened in the days of Noah? They mocked and laughed at Noah. Oh my gosh, he's building this boat. For what? There's no water out here. It hadn't rained yet. It never rained. I mean, look how many times throughout history, I'm just going to say this too. Look how many times throughout history, the minority often was right, but the majority was wrong.
Yes, that's true.
How many times? Yeah. And in the Bible, how many times was the majority right, or the minority right, and the majority wrong? I will take, you know, Mr. Gary was talking about this last week, Numbers, you know, the spies going in. Two. Let me see this. Hold on. Now I got to calculate it. All right, let's see here. All right, hold on here, because I'm a stats guy, finance guy. 16.7%. of the people were right. .3% were wrong. But the news said, really? Really? I mean, it's just mind-numbing after a while. Let's just use round numbers. 17% of the people were right, 83% were wrong. I am totally free from what people think of me. I don't care, right? Because I know the stats that the people who were... Do you know there's more people speaking in tongues and spirit-filled overseas than there are people in the United States, percentage-wise, Christians?
Yes.
In Africa? When I was in Africa, it was like, those people are hungry. I mean, we're getting Methodists baptized in the Holy Spirit, Presbyterians, Baptists. I mean, it didn't matter. Why do we have to have these labels? But somehow it makes us feel comfortable because we want to, you know, assemble with the people that make us feel good or that we identify with, right? Mm-hmm. And 17% were right. How many people were hanging around the cross at Jesus' crucifixion? Where was everybody else at? Right? You know, the cool thing is, history reveals those who are right and those who are wrong. During the COVID, we're going to find out throughout history who is right and who is wrong. I'm just saying. You can say whatever you want to, but time will tell. And so we're seeing here that people had, during that time period, they had no clue what was going to happen, and they were obviously on the other side. This minority of people, Noah, his three sons and their families, and his wife, that was it. So we got at least eight people. And everybody else was wrong. Right? So I'll just say this. Sometimes when you get a fanfare of a lot of people behind you, look out. There may be something wrong, right? You may just get some red flags coming up. Yeah. Just saying. Mm-hmm. And when you get people who are mad as hornets and they try to attack you, sometimes that's a good thing. Yes. Right? Sometimes it just tells you you're kind of on the right path. And I'm not saying we're coming out here to try to make people mad, but what I am saying is this: righteousness stirs up the flesh and it makes demonic spirits mad.
Yes.
And even though you think we're walking around here and everything, there's people that have demons on them. Pride alive. I mean, there's people who have education. They have education. They think they're really super smart, and they have all these religious demons on them and everything else. And I'm not looking for demons anywhere else, but I'm just saying there are spirits on people that we see that it'll flare up when they hear the gospel preach. You say the name of Jesus, and you have people, they'll just flare up, you know. Let's see, you have a Jesus shirt on. Check it out, baby. Check out my shirt. Lay hands on my shirt. So let me put my shirt on you, baby. Let's do this. Come on. Let's get you delivered. So we're seeing the world has not prepared because they didn't know and they didn't care, right? What's the two facts? All of those people in the days of Noah had the opportunity to repent and to get on board with God's plan, but they chose not to. And what happened? They perished. I was like that, you know. It's just, and I get it, it's kind of cute, but you know, you think about it, where I always think about the Noah scene, you know, and everybody's got it in their nurseries. You know, we've got the little Noah boat and, you know, all the animals and everything. But let's give a realistic thing. How about all the people screaming and drowning on the rocks, right? See, we don't show that part of the actual Noah story, because what is Noah's story? It's about judgment, and it's about the destruction of the wicked. It's not a nursery, right? It's like, oh, the cute animals and the little boat, and we're all floating, we're all happy, and the giraffe's heads are poking out, and everything is wonderful. But you don't see the people on the rocks screaming and drowning, and, you know, kind of get that a little bit. You know, we don't really give quite an accurate picture, do we? But it sells cards and toys, so, you know, and makes cute murals on nursery walls and stuff like that, too. But these people didn't know, they didn't care at the time, and then it was too late. Too many people, and even two, we get distracted, because what was Jesus' point? He said they were in the days of Noah, people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time of Noah. Now, there's nothing wrong with enjoying ourselves, right? We see Jesus throughout the Bible. We see him in you know, Palm Sunday. Him and his disciples. We had the Last Supper on the day of Pentecost. Jesus was at the wedding in Cana. I mean, so you know, Jesus was obviously involved in life, and there was, you know, the Hebrews, they had Jewish holidays, and there's nothing wrong with that. But their life was absorbed with it. There was no time for God. There was nothing going on. It was just, this is my life, right? I'm just living for today. Yeehaw. And like I mentioned earlier, distraction is one of the enemy's key strategies, right? Sin originates from distraction. It always does. Because if the devil can get your eyes off of the prize, he's got you defeated. Sin always originates. It always starts with distractions, right? Any kind of sin you could think of, right? Oh, I'm so stressed, I need a drink. Oh, it all starts there, right? Because your focus is not, I need to pray, I need to run to God. It's like, I need to release somewhere else, right? The distraction's over here, right? Oh, I'm not happy with my marriage. Oh, well, then you get distracted. Then you get, you know, then, well, I'm discouraged about my finances. Ah, who cares? Let's just go, you know, whatever. Let's just buy a new truck. Let's just go, you know, nothing wrong with buying trucks. But it's just, the point is you get distracted, and And the enemy presents a new release that is very temporary, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't last very long. And then it digs you deeper and deeper and deeper. And what happens is you were distracted. Now you have to have another distraction to distract you from that distraction. And then it just keeps going on. And all of a sudden, you're a hot mess. And it's because we're distracted. Here we go. Verse 40. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill, and one will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homemaker knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. I want to stop there for a moment, and I know this. Sometimes I do read long passages, but you know what? It's just good to read the Bible in church. All right. Sometimes we just need to sit back and we just need to read these passages, because sometimes I don't really need to explain things because it does it itself. Isn't that cool? You know, that's one thing that you learn about, like when my theology and in Bible colleges I've ever been in and things like, you use the Bible to interpret the Bible, right? That's why you can do certain things like word searches and everything else too, or you'll see in your Bible, I don't know why I'm getting off on this, but you'll see sometimes study Bibles, you'll see, you know, you can go reference other scriptures. Those things are very healthy. And again, you know, I don't have anything against commentary. I think there's some good things about it, but it's like this. I use the Bible to interpret the Bible. Mm-hmm. And there's different things that'll kind of help you too. There's what we call sometimes the rule of first mention. When you first discover something in the Bible, whether it's faith, no matter what it is, that often sets a precedence for the rest of that. But like, for example, you know, Abraham, he was our father of faith. He's really the first one that you read in the Bible that really had, I mean, other than Noah, these people that had faith, the Bible even talks about. And you look at Abraham's faith, he didn't have the Bible. He didn't have, you know, Brother Hagin teachings or Oral Roberts or, you know, all these other great teachers. They had nothing. And so when you look at people like Abraham and Noah, you look at some of the similarities, and you're like, you know what? He pleased God. He didn't have this big theological understanding. He just knew God said this. I'm putting one foot in front of the other. Not hard. Verse 45. A faithful, sensible servant is one whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his own household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds that the servant has done it a good job, there will be reward. Stop for a moment there. I want to stop. The Bible's very clear. If you're waiting for government handouts, it ain't biblical. No. I mean, we will be judged on our works. The world will be judged on their sins. We are, as believers, will be judged on our works. It just means, are you doing what you're supposed to do? Are you faithful? Because Jesus paid the price when we're born again. He already took the sin. I mean, he was judged for us. We took on his righteousness on us. So we're not judged for those things, right? But we are judged for is whether we fulfilled the call and we were ready and we're faithful. What does it say right here? They're rewarded for a good job. Then it goes on to tell you the truth. The master will put the servant in charge of all he owns. So what that means is if we are faithful, God is going to expand us and give us more. But if the servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while, and he begins beating the other servants, partying, and getting drunk, the master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So as we're closing here, we just don't have time to go in any farther tonight, but it says there is power in just getting things done, right? There is power in obedience. Again, this goes against, you know, so many people are, you know, have this socialist mentality that Jesus was not a socialist. Absolutely not. It's ridiculous. It says if you don't work, you don't eat. If you're, you know, don't, you're worse than an infidel. You don't provide for your family. There's just things that God, you know, we look at this parable. We also look at the parable of, you know, this servant. There's other ones Jesus talks about where, you know, those who don't, are not faithful to produce a return, that it's evil, right? It means what we have, we need to give it and multiply it. God is all about, you know, you think about things like even just our everyday things like an apple or anything we have at home. See, an apple is bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. The seeds on it produce way more fruit than just the apple itself. See, we're focused on the fruit, but when it was inside of us, and that's what the devil is petrified of, is for us to take, to be prepared, and to be able to deliver on what God has given us. And again, there's two paths. We'll close with this tonight. Most people, there's two paths that most people take in life. Number one, a lot of people do nothing. They think about doing things, but they take no action, right? And they're into like the analysis paralysis, right? We're going to think about things. We're going to, I was in a meeting on Monday, just doing different things about all these changes and everything. And we spent 4 hours, 4 hours. I sat there and got nothing accomplished. That was brutal. It was horrible. It was just like, I'm never going to get this time back in my life. It was like, let's make a decision. Okay? I don't work for free. None of us work for free. Let's figure this out and let's move on. Right? And we got nothing done. And then another 4 hours went by. And we got nothing done. Because of analysis paralysis, right? I don't know, what do you think about this? I don't know, what do you think about this? I don't know, let's talk to this person. Blah, 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 this department. Blah, blah, blah. On the other hand, right, we get people, either way, nothing gets done. So we just think about things, or on the other hand, we're just going to have analysis paralysis. We never do anything. You know, the really cool thing about the disciples in the book of Acts is they could tell that they were uneducated, but what? They'd been with Jesus.
Yeah.
What was it all about? It was all about, we can think about things, but Jesus wasn't focused on how much or how little they knew. It was about they had been with Jesus, and they're just going to get her done.
Yeah. That's
right. You know, it's like sometimes, too, when I've witnessed to people on street, when I've done street evangelism or anything like that, you know, I don't have a script, but I prepare myself. And there's a big difference there, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus told the disciples there in, what was it, Matthew chapter 10, when they went out 2 by 2. Yeah, don't take a script. We don't have to over-prepare things, because the Holy Spirit's going to lead us.
Yes.
You know? I mean, we don't have to overcomplicate things, but I think what the Lord wants is he's like, whatever, and we'll talk more about this next week, whatever I've given you, I want you to take that and run with it. There's something that we're needing to prepare at the end. I'm just telling you what, I was listening to this guy, and this is funny, because I was looking at, talking about business, just business and things like that, and this person was wanting to buy a bakery. And like they were talking about, I don't know anything about bakery. Okay, I'm a great sampler. All right, I could be a professional baker, sampler, eating guy. Right, that's my job. Right, if you need steaks that need to be sampled, I'm that guy too. So I'm just saying. But they were talking about, you know, hey, I wanted to buy this, and when they were getting into the details about, you know, this guy was analyzing, he's like, you know, I'm interested in buying this, but he said, it's one thing, and those of you who bake in here, you know way more than I do, but I'm trying to break it down here. But he said, you know, it's one thing to follow something off of, you know, to bake cookies, and I'm the last person to bake cookies, by the way, so I don't need an agreement with this, Adrian, okay? But I'm the last person to bake cookies. But what they got into was that there were there was this company, this bakery focused on exquisite like French pastries, like croissants and other things like that. But the problem was that it is so detailed about the process. It's not just something that, you know, some goofball like me can get in there and just like, hey, I, you know. No, it's very skilled. And so there are things, and I bring that up for a reason, is because of this. You know, the Lord gave these people talents and skills to multiply. And the point is in the in days, I believe God's going to use people with their giftings. You're only you're going to be able to help people, right? And there's just sometimes where I'll be out somewhere and I'm like, Adrian can talk to somebody that I can't, right? I mean, yeah, I may be a dad, but I'm not a mom. I don't know what it feels like. I have no experience being a mom. And you know what? I'm not going to identify as a mom anytime soon, so I'm just telling you that right now. But there's just some people, you're gifted to do things, right? You're that croissant, gifted, specialized person that God needs a return from you on. And we need these end times. There's just things that you're going to be able to do to help people, to either the kingdom or business or I don't know what it is, but only you can put your stamp and only you can put your fingerprints on that are going to be able to multiply and to do things in life that's going to impact things and open doors up for you and the kingdom moving forward. But we'll talk more about that in the weeks to come. But Father, tonight, we thank you so much for the kingdom, Lord, and that we're going to prepare ourselves. We're not going to be distracted, but Lord, we're going to focus because you can come anytime, Lord. And tonight, I just want to open it up. If you've never given your life to Jesus tonight or you want to rededicate yourself, we want to pray for you. Amen. Or if you've never received what Jesus commands us to do in the New Testament, which is speak in tongues, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, so we don't get tongues, but we receive the person, the Holy Spirit. And because of the Holy Spirit, that's a manifestation of his presence, is the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Because we see Acts chapter 2, verse 4, when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, it says they all fell on everyone. 120, it was every person had the Holy Spirit come on them, and the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and they're the ones that spoke. The people spoke. Holy Spirit didn't make you speak. Didn't make them speak, but he gave them an utterance, and they released that utterance. So, anyway, we are definitely at the end times, and tonight I just pray that we're going to be just prepared and have a focus on you and your kingdom in the end times, and also we're going to be like the Bereans who understood the times and the seasons and the scriptures in the book of Acts, Lord God. Father, we're going to understand the time and the period that we're in, Lord God, and we're going to walk in that and impact people around us. And we thank you in your name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody. Amen.